everybody. Welcome to another edition of On the Money with a Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO's Ask the Experts Weekend. We are here with the Oracle of Orlando, Joe Burt, alongside with Chris Todvine. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you guys today?
We're good.
Good, good. Joe, what can the audience call you about today?
Well, Chris and I are here to answer any questions that might be on your mind regarding your personal finances. For nearly 30 years, we've been a proud member of the WDBO team here, been showing up on Saturday mornings, answering clients' questions, listeners' questions about things that are on their mind regarding their personal finances, questions that you might have regarding stocks, bonds, mutual funds, IRAs, 401ks, annuities, life insurance, reverse mortgages. At Certified Financial Group, we do financial planning and investment management for a fee. But on Saturday morning, we are here absolutely free. So if you have any questions regarding any of those issues, we are here. We also want to mention that we have some interesting things coming up with Certified Financial Group, along with Murphy Berglund Law Firm, on February the 20th. That's the third Thursday of the month. Jody Murphy and Rodney Ownby, Certified Financial Planner from our firm, and Jody Murphy, attorney, will be hosting a bus tour around Seminole Orange County to visit five assisted living, a nursing home, independent living facilities. It's a great way for you and or a guest to see what's out there at absolutely no pressure from these organizations. Jody and Rodney have found this to be very, very beneficial to folks that are maybe considering that for themselves or perhaps their parents. They want to see what's out there. So here's what you need to do. Just go to our website. That's financialgroup.com, financialgroup.com. Click on events, and you can make your reservation right there. It's $10 per person or $15 per couple. And a couple doesn't have to be husband and wife. You don't have to be married. But if two folks want to join up as a couple, that's fine. And you can come along for the ride. They're going to provide breakfast and lunch and a lot of great information. Once again, that's the only charge, and you're going to walk away with a lot of good information that you'll be able to use. Jody and Rodney along the trip give you some information about basic estate planning and financial planning tips. So that's at financialgroup.com. In addition to that, this morning, we're trying something new right there. Kyle?
Well, we're trying something new. We can watch us on several different areas.
Yes, yes.
If it was a Facebook Live, put On the Money Podcast in the search bar. Facebook, like it so that every Saturday morning it'll just come up in your feed and you don't have to do that much work. So go ahead and hit On the Money Podcast in the search bar on Facebook. But if you're not on Facebook, you can also go to YouTube now. Yeah. Go to the Financial Group's YouTube channel and then you'll click the live link because it'll be the first video and we are live. It'll be the first video. So when you go to Financial Group in the search bar of YouTube, you'll be able to watch us there as well. And of course, if you're driving down the road and you want to watch it or want to catch some information, well, that's simple enough. You can go back to those platforms I just talked about, Facebook or YouTube, and see the post. So therefore, very, very simple. Lots of way to watch this. Lots of way to check in with us this morning. And the numbers to do that, dial us, ask a question today here, 844-220-0965. That is 844-220-0965. Of course, text machine up and running as well at 21232. That is 21232. We should actually keep it about 160 characters because that's all we could see on the screen. So we don't want your text to get cut off. If you find yourself writing a short novel, that's what the phone lines are for. Again, 844-220-0965. Well, we had the State of the Union Tuesday night. Chris Todvine, Certified Financial Planner, is here to give us the Investors' State of the Union.
There you go. Good morning, Kyle. How are we doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
All right, let's hear it. I'm looking forward to this.
And I can hear you. I'm doing great.
Yes.
So, nonetheless, yes, we had the State of the Union Tuesday night, and so probably a lot of our listeners either watched or heard about that. Hopefully there will be a little less drama around this version, but this is just some highlights as presented by FINRA, who, as some might know, that's a regulatory agency for brokers, really, more than registered investment advisors, but also the Investment Company Institute. And in short, the punchline is investor knowledge in the United States is low. They administered a survey of about 10 questions, and unfortunately, only one-third of the people who took the survey were able to answer more than half of those 10 questions correctly. Yeah.
Wow.
Kind of sobering.
Well, you know, and we talked about that. I didn't mention in the opening, but you've heard me say this time and time again, as our listeners have, our educational system has failed us, and as we go through life hoping it all comes together, making decisions without any good information and knowledge. So the survey confirms it. So what did you find out specifically?
Well, knowledge changes lives. I mean, I think you're absolutely right, Joe. So the average number of questions that was answered correctly was about 4.7 out of 10. Investors, let's talk about fees, right? Investors are confused about the fees that they pay for investing. 14% of people don't think they pay any kind of fee for investing. So that's you know, relatively low, but among mutual fund owners, about a third, 32%, believe they don't pay any kind of fee for mutual funds. So they think that, you know, those glossy brochures and the tax reporting and the people that answer the phone just do that out of the goodness
for
of their
free.
Heart.
Yes. Right, right.
20% of investors think that they pay fees for investment advice, so that means 80% don't. So when they go get advice, 4 out of 5 people think that that's free.
Right.
And I often will ask people who have been working with a broker or someone else, how have you been paying for advice? And they say, I don't. And I say,
it's like
okay,
the free financial plan that they want to offer out there. You know,
there's
nothing that's free.
And you know, so, and I see statements of these prominent financial institutions, and I say, so they have prime real estate on the corner of every major city in America, but they do all that for free.
Right.
Right. So investors just don't realize, and I think as fiduciaries, what we strive to do is make our fees transparent so they're not hidden so that people do know how they pay. And I think that's very important. I think it's a distinction of working with a registered investment advisor and a fiduciary as opposed to a broker where things are shrouded in secrecy and not talked about.
Right.
Right. So also investors would rather have disclosures mailed to them as paper documents, although that's on the downtrend. So the disclosures, I guess some people still need something to start fires with, and so they would rather get it in the mail. Now, here's a great one, Joe. Investors are more likely to overestimate than underestimate their performance. Is that surprising?
Yeah.
So in other words, only about 4% of people think their portfolio will underperform the market.
Optimistic.
They think they'll underperform.
Oh, they think they'll underperform.
Right? So 29% think their portfolio will outperform the market. So again, this goes back to understanding what is the market. A lot of times when we talk about the market, investors are thinking the S&P 500 or something.
Right.
And so if they have a diversified portfolio, they're going to underperform that
exactly.
most likely.
Exactly.
Now, if I ask you, do you think more men or more women would overestimate performance, what would you guess?
Men.
Men are more likely than women to believe that they will beat the market.
Yep.
So that was not a big surprise. Profile of investors.
Why is that, you think? You guessed that right.
Alpha male.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know, we believe, whereas women are generally more cautious, but men think they can go out and do it. And,
they do.
Yeah.
And men tend to be tinkerers more and like to fiddle with things, and even if it's working.
We like numbers.
Now, there's always exceptions to that, but I think that generally that's true.
Yeah. So, okay, profile of investors, the number of households, this is a little surprising to me, number of households owning mutual funds in the U.S., 56 million. It's a lot of households.
You know, I bet it's more than that, and I bet you that folks that are in 401ks don't even know that that's what they have in their 401k. They just have the thing, and they don't really know what it is. But they have my 401k, my money's there. They don't realize perhaps it's a mutual fund. I bet you that number in actuality is higher.
Well, here's number of individuals. So that was households. Number of individuals who own mutual funds, 99.5 million.
Okay.
So that's about, you know, roughly 1 out of 3 Americans, right?
Yeah,
So that's good.
That is good.
I bet if we had the number from 20, 30 years ago, it would be very different.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Percentage of households owning funds is about 44, 45%. So that's, you know, of every household out there. That, again, I think that's positive. I think investors are beginning to get the message they need to save for their future.
I think that explains why there's consumer confidence right now and why the President Trump's being so well received in terms of what's going on with the economy, because many people are invested. They see their statements every quarter, every month going up, increasing, they're feeling very positive.
Feels good.
So what's that number? How many million people?
So that 99.5, so almost 100 million individuals own mutual funds.
Right, there you go.
So the average number of funds owned is 4. The median, so kind of average mutual fund assets per household owning funds is 150,000.
Uh-huh.
So the average household has 150,000. Now, investment vehicles, Joe. So what do most people own? We've been talking about mutual funds. Most investors own individual stocks and mutual funds, by far the most commonly owned investments. A small minority own REITs, microcap and penny stocks, commodities, futures, options, those kind of more esoteric private placement type investments.
Right, right.
And ETF usage is on the rise. So that's a big trend.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that's kind of interesting, Investment Company Institute finally just put their numbers out for last year. And when we look at January to December last year, the flows, the money that went into
money coming in, yep.
Now we know last year was a great year for the markets,
mm-hmm.
for just about every corner of the market, some better than others. But money actually went out of stock mutual funds.
Hmm.
So investors were pulling
that's
money out. Isn't that something?
I don't ever bet that.
And money went in to bond mutual funds.
Ah.
So again, I think this goes back to education, trying to time the market. We had a bad fourth quarter of 2018.
Right.
And so what do a lot of investors do? Knee-jerk reaction. They started pulling money out of stock funds. We had a phenomenal year in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And I would bet some of those people are looking in the rearview mirror going, okay, last year was good. Maybe now's the time to get back in. So I missed it. You know, and it's just old whipsaw.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, that trend is pretty frequent. The number of mutual funds, I thought this was pretty interesting. Going back 20 years, the number of mutual funds has increased from about 6,800 to 17,700. So some of that may be different share classes
right.
of the same fund. But in ETFs, in 1999, there were 34. At the end of 2018, there were 3,371. So ETFs are on the rise.
Very popular. Yeah, right.
Popular. Doesn't mean they're all good.
Right.
But, you know, big picture, and we factor in closed-end funds and UITs, which is a more, you know, less common type of investment. There were about 7,199, about 21,400, let's say, at the end of 2018. So about triple
mm-hmm.
the number of funds. So, you know, what does that do to the average investor? What it does is it makes it more confusing to try to identify what are the good investments
that's,
for them.
And that's why we're in business.
And that's why we're in business.
All
that's
right.
one of the
that's
things
right.
we help with.
Well, we're also in business on the radio today. If you want to dial us up, it's 844-220-0965. That is 844-220-0965. And Shelly has done just that. She's first up this morning. Shelly, go ahead. You're on with the Certified Financial Group.
Good morning, Shelly.
Hi, Shelly.
Thanks for calling. What's up?
Good morning. I've listened to you for a long, long time, but I've never called in with a question.
Well, here we are.
Thank you. I'm 71. Last year, I took out a policy, a life insurance policy, with a rider, a long-term care rider,
mm-hmm.
for $350,000.
Okay.
It's $15,000 a year. And
wait. What's $15,000? What's $15,000 a year?
The
premium.
The premium.
You're paying $15,000 a year.
For how long, Shelley? Do you know?
I believe 20 years.
Okay.
Well, okay.
So,
and it has a death benefit of $350,000?
Yes, with the rider for long-term care.
Okay.
Well.
All right.
What's your question?
My question is, am I being really stupid? I mean, or is it,
well, first of all, what's the benefit that you will get from the rider for the long-term care? How much per day or per month will the rider provide for you and for how long? That's the critical component here.
Well, I think the total is $350 on that as well.
Well, it's, you know, generally, Shelley, I was looking at one of these yesterday with someone, and they're all a little bit different, so this is generally, but theirs was about 2% of that death benefit per month. And if that were true for you, that would be about $7,000 a month.
Right.
You know, so
$7,000 a month for 50 months is $350,000.
Yes.
Yeah.
So obviously, though, $15,000 a year, look, I'm a fan of long-term care. I'm seeing more and more clients who are in a situation where they're needing that kind of help, and it's not free. And so I think to prepare and plan for that is wise, but I also think that it's a function of your larger financial situation, right? And so, you know, it's tough to answer your question specifically. Have you done a good thing? I think in spirit you did a good thing because you're trying to prepare for the future. $15,000 a year in premium sounds like an awful lot to me. So, you know, and I, Joe, you can share your thoughts. I tend to play the averages with long-term care. The average need for help is about 2.5 years. In our area, I hear $6,000 to $7,000 a month. I think that's, you know, probably not too far out of the ballpark. And so when you're planning towards that, you have to think about what other assets do I have, and do I really need that much in long-term care benefit, Or do I just try to cover part of the benefit and allow my Social Security and maybe some investments to take care of the rest?
Shelley, one feature of that policy could be a rider. You have your base policy, which is a life insurance policy. On top of that, if you don't need the death benefit or don't use the death benefit, it'll pay you a certain amount a month, every month, and I think we determined probably $7,000 a month for 50 months, that's your $350. But you probably have a rider that when that money is gone, then it'll continue to pay, and you may have also an inflation rider on top of that. So there may be some features in that policy that really make it very attractive. There are good policies out there that provide. See, the nice thing about that situation is that you will never lose that money. You're putting that $15,000 away. You can't cover long-term health care if you just start writing checks if you went in the nursing home today. All right? And if you don't use it, your beneficiaries are going to get that $350,000 totally tax-free. So basically what you're doing is you're taking money out of one pocket, putting it into another, and if in fact you're going to need long-term care, well, you're going to be covered. And if you don't use it, your beneficiaries are going to get that $350,000. Now, are we doing that at the expense of putting food on the table? That's the question. And without doing some financial planning or understanding your situation, it's difficult to tell. So I wouldn't say you did the wrong thing, but it's possible that this could fit you like a glove.
I took it out of time when I was under a lot of stress.
I understand. And sometimes that's not necessarily the best thing to do. I will tell you what, Shelley, you're up in our area. You're up in Lake Mary. Give our office a call on Monday. Or better yet, you're 71. Have you visited any of these places, these facilities that you might be considering?
No.
Okay. All right. Here's what I want you to do, Shelley. I'm going to give you an offer here. As I said in my opening remarks on Thursday, I think it's the 20th or 22nd, whatever the third Thursday of this month is, we are hosting a bus tour that will take you to four or five facilities in our area that's going to show you what's out there and what the costs are and the good and the bad. And it's $10 per individual or $15 per couple. I want you to go to our website. That's financialgroup.com. Click on events and make your reservation right there, and bring your policy with you. Rodney OMB will be on the bus with you, and we'll take a look at that, and we'll tell you if we think it's good, bad, or indifferent based on what we know, and if you want to come in for a follow-up consultation, we'll be glad to help you as well. $15,000 a year is a pretty stiff premium, but long-term care today is very expensive. You're looking at, $8,000, and depends if you need nursing home facility up, you're talking about $10,000 a month, so you can burn up money very, very quickly. So your policy, I like those policies. They're called asset protection policies, where you're going to get money back one way or another, as opposed to the old policies. Remember, Chris?
Yes.
You paid a premium every year, every month.
Premium, and that's where the insurance industry is genius at finding solutions to things that bother us, right?
Right.
And so the thing that bothered us about the old policies was the fact that you would pay a premium, much like your auto insurance or homeowners, and if you never used it, you never got anything back, and so people didn't like that. And so these policies will give a death benefit to your heirs if it does not get used for long-term care.
Yep.
But so, Shelley, follow up with us, and we'll be glad to take a look at that for you.
Hopefully, Shelley, hope to see you on the bus tour. And thanks,
Shelley,
for calling.
Thanks so much for the phone call, Shelley. We're up against a very short break here. Shelley, if you want to give them more phone call on Monday, what's the number to do that, Joe?
407-869-9800, 407-869-9800, or 1-800-EXECUTES if you're executing a legal document.
We are planning tomorrow.
Today.
Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. And welcome back to On the Money with the Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. We are here with Certified Financial Group's very own Joe Burt alongside Chris Todvine, the Orlick of Orlando. And ladies and gentlemen, we went very long in that first segment. So right now we're about 20 seconds away from the latest news, weather, and traffic. So hang on the line. But when you get out the phone number, in case you want to have a question or missed it before, it's 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. Text machine is up and running as well at 21232. And we'll take more of those and your calls right after the latest news, weather, and traffic with Dave Wall on News 96.5 WDBO. Hey, welcome back. This is On the Money with a Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. It is all a part of our Ask the Experts weekend. We're taking your phone calls at 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965 with the Oracle of Orlando, Joe Burke, alongside Chris Toadvine, Certified Financial Planner Professionals at the Certified Financial Group. And Joe, just in case anybody may have joined us during the latest news, weather, and traffic, what can they call you about today?
Well, Chris and I are here to answer the questions that might be on your mind regarding your personal finances. At our firm, we are registered investment advisors. We work with our clients doing financial planning and investment advice for a fee. We work with our clients as fiduciaries, and on Monday through Friday, we do this work for free, but on Saturday morning, we are here absolutely free. So if you have any questions regarding your personal finances, questions that you might have regarding an IRA, a 401k, about a mutual fund, long-term health care, annuities, life insurance, reverse mortgages, all that and more, is what Chris and I do every day along with the 10 other certified financial planners at CFG. And the important thing about our firm is that all the work that is done that you meet with us is being done by a certified financial planner professional. We don't have some newly minted person that just got out of school and wants to get in the profession and all of a sudden he's your financial planner.
And we don't outsource it to India.
And we don't outsource it.
We love our Indian friends, but we don't outsource that kind of personal work.
Wait, that's a thing?
That's a thing.
That is a thing, yes.
Oh,
we do it all right. We do it all right there at our office in Altamont Springs. So we invite your call, invite your inquiry. Go to our website. That's financialgroup.com. We've been around, our roots to our company go back 40-plus years, and we have 12 certified financial planners under one roof. We're the largest independent financial planning firm in Central Florida with 12 CFPs. So anyway, that's enough about us. Let's take our call here.
All right.
We have Rodney in the office.
That's right. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, Rodney. Rodney Ownby, CFP and CPA, is in the office. I'm sorry, Rodney. We had just gotten around to mentioning that you were there taking calls off the air. So if you have a more detailed question that you want to run by Rodney or just get some more information about us, how we do, what we do it, he is there waiting your call. That's 407-869-9800, 407-869-9800, or 1-800-EXECUTIVES if you're executing a legal document. And if the line is busy, leave a message and he promises to get back to you. So give Rodney a call if you want some more information. And in the meantime, we can talk to Robert.
Robert in Wildwood has dialed us up. Robert, go ahead. You're on the
show. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Robert. How you doing?
What's up?
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I've got a question about an old 401k. It was one that was left over. I used to work for a company back in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And it was I found the statement for it, and I realized I never did anything with it. I don't know how I can find it.
Uh-huh. That's not uncommon.
The information on the statement, it says it had a web address of benefitsaccess.com.
Okay.
And I tried looking there, and it said that one is no longer available. See Connect Plan Stock, which I guess is a Morgan Stanley company.
Okay.
So I called the number listed on that website, and they can't find anything of it about at all.
Hmm.
Well, who was the company that you worked for back then, who you had this 401k with, still in business?
They are not.
They are not. Oh, wow.
All right, so the plan was terminated. Go ahead.
Yeah, they were actually bought out. So they were bought out by another company, but then since even in that company has been bought out again and such.
All right.
I think, Joe, if it was me, I would go to the second buyer, so the company that's still in existence today, I would go to their HR department, and I would ask them who is handling the 401k, and that would be the first route I would go.
Right. Do you remember how much money you had in there at that time, Robert?
At the time, it was just over $5,000, about $5,600.
$5,600, okay. Well, based on the laws, they can't throw you out of the plan, so that money may be sitting there unless you cashed it out and you forgot that you cashed it out. So that happens too sometimes.
No, definitely not.
Okay, definitely not.
I had one big one from a former company that I definitely did.
Okay.
But that one I never ever touched.
Okay.
So I didn't touch it.
Yeah, hopefully it's worth $10,000 now, and you'll have good luck finding it, Robert.
Yeah, that's where I would start. Go back to the second company and see what they tell you, because they should have records, because all that, I know they have records. They just have to point you in the right direction. Chances are that money's just sitting there with your name on it. And all they'll ask for is your social security number to identify you.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Robert.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, it's a common question I hear.
Well, you know, this is one of the hazards that people have when they change jobs. They leave their old 401k there, and they forget about it, and they move, and they lose the statement, and, you know, 15 years later, you know, I had that $25,000 in that plan.
And the company gets sold twice, right?
Yes, exactly. Which is why what we do as certified financial planners, we look at your situation, and when it comes time to retire, oftentimes it makes sense to consolidate those, do a direct transfer into an IRA, right, Chris?
Right. It just simplifies the oversight and the management, and it's a lot less to keep up with. And, you know, oftentimes for folks like Robert, I had a call the other day, Joe, and a lady was asked, she had a couple of old 401ks, and we concluded she had a great 401k plan where she was working then, and she could roll it right in there. And so, you know, whatever is best for the client, right? But I do think, in general, consolidating is a good thing.
Right. Plus, when it comes time to make those required minimum distributions at 72 now with the new law, it's a lot easier to manage that if it's in one bucket.
That's exactly
and
right.
And the other thing is that then if you want professional management to guide you through your retirement years, this is what we do at Certified Financial Group for a fee. So if you want any more information about what we do and how we do it, go to our website. That's financialgroup.com, financialgroup.com.
If you want to call the show, it's 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. Or you can send us a text question. We've got the text machine up and running, 21232. We have a text question in here. I bought an index annuity that only made 3% last year when I heard the market made a lot more. How do I get out of it?
Well, before you answer the question, let's talk about what an index annuity is, because we throw this term around and assume all of our listeners know what we're talking about. So how do they work?
Well, that's a great question, Joe, and I think it's a very important question because I'm finding more and more people are being sold index annuities. I'm not sure they understand exactly what they are. And
well, there are more and more free lunch and dinner seminars.
Well,
that's why they're being sold these index annuities.
Yes, and there's a correlation between sales of index annuities and dinner seminars. But, you know, in short, an annuity is an investment through an insurance company, right? And so there are different types of annuities. When people tell me they've got an annuity, I say, well, that's like saying I've got a car. Do you have a Ferrari or do you have an F-150 pickup truck or something in between? And so, you know, annuities, the most simple annuity, Joe, is a fixed annuity. It pays a stated rate of interest for a period of time. And, you know, it's
like a CD,
kind of like a savings account, right? Doesn't have the FDIC guarantee, but kind of like that, a guaranteed rate of interest. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have variable annuities where your funds are invested in the market through the annuity, you get tax deferral, and they grow at the rate of return of the investments inside the annuity. If you have good investments and they go up, you can make money. If the investments go down, you can lose money. And so, again, insurance companies are genius at finding solutions to things that bother consumers. And so we want our cake and eat it too. And so the index annuity is the solution that gives us our cake and allows us to eat it too.
Or so they say.
That's right. And so it purports to allow you to participate in the upside of the market. What market, you say? Well, there are lots of different markets. Most generally the S&P 500, but now I'm seeing companies get very creative with coming up with more esoteric indices that clients are invested in. But nonetheless, the amount of interest that you earn on the CD is tied to the performance of that underlying index. Let's say the S&P 500. So if it were to go up 10%, or like last year, 20 or 30%, there is most often, there are different mechanisms that the insurance company has to limit, frankly, what you get.
That's called a cap?
That's called a cap rate is the most common.
Or participation rate.
Or participation rate.
So what does that participation rate mean?
What that means, that is the percent of the gain that you get to keep.
So if it went up 20% and my participation rate is 70%, I only get 14%.
That's right.
Or it's capped at some...
Or it's normally capped at 3 to 4% is what I'm seeing now.
Okay.
And so... here it seems like the person who texted this question says they made 3% last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty typical cap rate.
Right.
So the market goes up 20, let's say, or 10, you get to keep 3, and the insurance company keeps the difference, and that's how they make their profit.
Mm-hmm.
But if the market goes down, you don't lose. That's true. However, you're accepting a much lower rate of return in those good years.
Right.
So.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, most of those annuities are at best you're going to get is a bond rate of return on them.
That's correct.
Right?
That's correct.
But they sell it with the sizzle. You participate in the market. When it goes up, you get your gains. They don't tell you how much of the gain you get, and when it goes down, you don't lose anything. Everybody likes the don't lose anything part, right?
That's right. We all like that.
So,
but I looked at some of these accounts this week, as a matter of fact, and for this particular client, we said, can you afford, because theirs had averaged 2-2.5% and over the last 5 years. And I said, can your planning work at a 2-2.5% rate of return? And the answer was no.
Right.
It could not. And so I think that what consumers don't understand is when they go in these products, that the insurance company is able to reduce the cap rates. So, so they go in at a higher cap rate, entice them in, right? It's kind of like the Roach Motel. You can get in, but you can't get out, right? And so, and then the cap rates come down once you're in the product and there's a surrender charge to come out typically.
Yes. So they are, at best, they're bond alternatives.
That's correct.
It could be a part of an investment portfolio, but it isn't something you should bet your retirement on because you're not going to get there from here most part.
Most people are not. That's correct.
Yep. So that's what index annuities are. And what was the question that they asked?
Well, I bought an index annuity that only made 3%.
Now, there you go.
The market made a lot more.
Yeah, that's why.
How do I get out of it?
Well,
how you get out of it is, you know, first of all, you have to look at, is there a surrender charge to come out of it, and how much is that surrender charge? So, again, typically we see 7 to 10 years of charges to come out, and so you would have to look at that, understand what is the charge, and is it smart to come out, or would it be better to wait? Because a lot of times the ones I looked at this week started at 10%, and they were about 7%. To 5% all the way to the end.
Yeah, one of the hooks we've seen, I'm sure you've seen it as well, where they offer you this bonus.
Yes, you know, free money.
Yeah, free money.
They're in business to give money away.
Right. You're going to get, but what you read the fine print, you can't, it's like the Roach Motel. In order to get that free money, you've got to be there for a long time.
A long time. Yeah. I mean, they give you a 10% bonus, but you're locked up for 10 years.
At least. So, or sometimes you can't get it out in a lump sum. You've got to take it out over a number of years.
Yeah, even worse.
Yes.
That's right.
So be careful out there. There's a place for annuities. Generally, index annuities are not all they're cracked up to be. I measure it or say it's like buying, you think you're buying a filet, but you're really buying hamburger. It won't kill you, but you're not going to get that. And you're going to be disappointed in the end. Yep.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, I fully am full versed in
it. You got it. Now you know everything you wanted to know and then some.
I learn I host this show every single week. And apparently I lost my voice while I'm on here.
I'm all choked up about annuities.
I know, I was getting emotional there. The cold weather has gotten way too much phlegm in my, and now that I'm in the hot studio, it's starting to melt, and that's never a good sign.
Not good.
But every single week I come in and I learn something new that just by anybody calling in with any question that may sound like a dumb question, but if you have that question, I can guarantee you, been doing this long enough, at least 20 other people listening.
Right.
And
you talk about learning something new. It's one of the advantages that I think our firm has with 12 certified financial planners who get together weekly to talk about issues and what's going on in the industry, what we've seen, what our clients are bringing to us. We have the ability to collaborate and to look for solutions and also look for problems.
That's right.
So this is one of the things with 12 certified financial planners that we bring to the table that most firms don't have.
Well, we will continue. And in each expertise area, too, because I even know Gary Abel, he's a CPA, and there's so many different people with so many different expertise in so many different areas in financial planning.
Yeah. We know there's three CPAs in our firm in addition to the 12 CFPs. Two of our CFPs are CPAs, and we have a standalone CPA, so got a lot of horsepower.
That is true. And why don't you use that horsepower, because it is at your disposal right now on the radio, 844-220-0965. That is 844-220-0965. We are planning tomorrow.
Today.
The Certified Financial Group. Right now, we do have to pause to get the three big things you need to know.
This is News 96.5 WDBO.
This is On the Money with the Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. Joe, who sings this song?
Johnny Rivers.
Thank you.
How about that?
Couldn't think of it.
Johnny Rivers.
Could not think of it.
Yep. Johnny Rivers goes back to about 1965.
Ah, the summer of 65.
1965, yep.
20 years before
I
wasn't even born then.
Oh, Chris wasn't either. Wow.
Oh, boy.
Okay, well, we'll move on from that.
We'll trust you. 8442. Like the summer of 35. But, you know.
How about the summer of 42? Remember that movie?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I have seen it. I went to a phase where I just loved watching those old movies from the 40s and 50s. and stuff, even the 30s. TCM was my favorite channel.
Well, the Summer of 42 was a movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that wasn't an old movie. It's an old movie now.
Oh, yes.
That's with, who's the gal in that? I fell in love with her. I forgot what her name is. Yeah. Yeah, it was about the kid, the innocent kid who had the older gal, older gal of the Summer of 42. I think I gotta go watch that again this weekend.
On Netflix, here we come. But we're not talking about that on the radio this morning. We're taking your phone calls at 844-220-0965. And before we get to the latest news, weather, and traffic, and the end of the show in 2 minutes, let's get to Longwood and talk to Bert. Bert, good morning.
Bert,
good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I just have a quick question. I got quite a bit of money already in the stock market, and my house isn't paid off, but I got a reserve amount of money with 3% interest on my house. So, curiosity, should I pay my house off or invest more money into the stock market?
Well, how old are you, Bert?
29.
29. And how many more years do you have on the mortgage?
27.
Okay. And so your question is, should you sell your stocks and pay off the house?
No. I have extra money.
You have extra money.
Should I pay the house off or should I
no.
invest
no,
in the
wouldn't
stock
do that.
Market?
No,
you got
years
enough
old.
Cash to pay off the house, Bert?
Yeah.
And that would be, so do you have an emergency fund in addition to that cash?
I do.
Okay.
I have a savings account that I got money into for 8 months worth of reserves in there.
Yeah, you sound like being in good shape. 29 years old. I want to get that money to grow. You've got time on your side. You can weather the ups and downs of the market as long as you make that mortgage payment. Is your job pretty secure?
Yeah, I own my own business. My wife's a teacher. So.
Okay. Yeah. You have children?
3.
All right. How are we fixed on life insurance?
None. No.
Bingo. All right, first thing you need to do, forget this investing, forget paying off the house. You need to get some life insurance, get some term insurance, 30-year term insurance.